I want to talk to you tonight about something that the title of my message is called Another Brick in the Wall. And no reference to any rock and roll groups when I bring that up. But I want to start out by sharing a story with you, if that's okay, something that happened to me recently, and then I think this will make more sense to you. It's about 4 weeks ago, and I was running some errands for our family. We had some things that we were trying to pick up, and Sarah and our youngest daughter, Abby Grace, they were at home, and so I said I'd go get the things that we needed from the store, and I had my list, and left the house, and there's a couple of ways. We live almost to Coweta, and if you're watching online, you may not know where Coweta is, but make a left at Possum Trot, and no, I'm just kidding. It's a small town outside of Broken Arrow, and that's where we live near there. And there's a couple of ways you can go to town, but the way that I was going, I made a left, and I could have made a right. I made a left, and I went down this road. And I was not that far from my house, but I was far enough that I didn't want to walk back. And my vehicle overheated, which is always a bummer. I can remember when my vehicle would overheat, and I didn't have AAA, and that was probably a bigger bummer. But I did have AAA, but I didn't have time to be waiting on that. It was getting closer to dark, and I still had some of my errands that I needed to run. And there was a time where something like that would have happened, and it would have gotten me all off kilter. Anybody else like that would have got bent out of shape about that a little bit? But I go to Rhema Bible Church, and I'm taught real well, and I grow, and I'm not the same guy I was a long time ago. And so immediately when I saw it overheat, I did what my dad taught me in the natural. I turned on the heat as high as I could get it, you know, to try to make sure that I could get some of the heat off the engine as best I could till I could find a place to pull over. It was all I knew to do. I knew I didn't have any tools. I knew I certainly didn't have any radiator fluid. And so I just said real quick, God, I'm not going to get worried about this. I don't know how, but I'm going to trust you to help me. And so I pulled over, and when I pulled over, bless you, by the way, just in case you think I didn't notice that, I pulled over and I backed into this spot in an abandoned house, and I raised the hood. And once I raised the hood, of course, you know, when it overheats, pretty hot, and you can see a little bit of steam coming up. And I had just told the Lord I wasn't going to worry about it, and I was trusting him. And about 2 minutes later, a red truck drives past, and the guy pulls into another driveway, and he turns around, and he pulls over just kind of in the ditch, because there wasn't much shoulder on this road that I was on. But he kind of pulls in the ditch a little bit on the road, puts his hazards on, gets out of his car, and starts walking over to me, and he says the obvious. Another thing that would have annoyed me at one point in my life, he said, "Overheated?" "No, sir. That steam that's coming out of there is my dragon." No, of course not. I didn't say that. I said there was a time I might have. I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And he said, "What kind of radiator fluid do you need?" And I said, "It uses this universal fluid or whatever." He goes, "I got what you need." And he turned back around, went to his truck, and he had 3 jugs of radiator fluid. Yeah, glory to God. And he came over to the car, and he introduced himself to me. Mr. Bricky is his name. And Mr. Bricky said, he told me what his first name was. He shook my hand, and he said, "Boy, you know, things like this, when they happen, it's kind of frustrating, whatever." And he said, "I thought I'd try to give you a hand, see what we could do, get you back on the road." He started working underneath there. I could tell he knew more under the hood than I knew. And so I said, You mechanic or something?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I'm a mechanic my whole life." I thought, glory to God. God has sent me a mechanic. Isn't that great? Yeah. So as we're talking and he's kind of looking underneath my hood, he's just, you know, working on some stuff, and we're making small talk. And I just felt impressed to say to him, I said, "Sir," I said, "I don't know if you're a believer." I said, "But I want you to know you're an answer to prayer." And he went, Glory to God, he said. Got born again in 1975, he said, filled with the Holy Ghost. Not too long after that, he said, I raised 10 kids. He said, I got them all filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, now, he said, I got grandkids. And he said, I'm working on them. He was a great guy to have under the hood of my car. But we had a nice chat, and we talked about, he shared things with me about his home church. He lives here in this area. He started talking to me about Charles Parham and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Kansas, and how the people that left that outpouring, some of them came here and started a little church, and he goes to that church. And he was just really excited about his walk with the Lord and about his experience with God. And as he was leaving, we exchanged numbers. We talked about maybe going and grabbing coffee sometime. And I said, let me get your number. And I said, if you'll give me your name again, I want to put it in my phone. I want to make sure I get it right. And he said, well, he said, my name is John Bricky. He said, but I tell people all the time, I'm just another brick in his wall. And I got in my car and I heard these words in my heart. Now, when I say that, I don't mean, like, I don't get in my car and the Lord does not talk to me on our XM radio. But just distinctly on the inside, I heard these words. I've always got another brick in the wall. And then the Lord reminded me of the 91st Psalm. I don't want to read that to you. Psalm 91, I'm going to read it out of a couple of translations. New King James first. And you know the scripture. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. But I like this translation, the New English. It says it this way. It says, as for you, the one who lives in the shelter of the Most High and resides in the protective shadow of the Sovereign One, I say this about the Lord, my shelter and my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. He will certainly rescue you from the snare of the hunter, and from the destructive plague he will shelter you. With his wings, you will find safety under his wings, his faithfulness is like a shield or a protective wall. And as I began to study that passage a little bit and just ponder that in light of what had just happened to me, the Lord gave me some particular things that I want to share with you tonight briefly as a way of reminder that God always has another brick in the wall. The first thing I want to tell you tonight is this, that trouble comes to all of us, but God always provides a way out. Now, it's usually not, it's not shouting ground when you say that trouble comes to all of us, but it's just a reality. And there was a time in my life where I didn't believe that. And it was maybe because I got, you know, just a partial teaching. You know, sometimes you go into a meeting and you hear people preach and they're doing things and they like teaching things and they sound real exciting. But if you're not careful, you'll miss the fact that we have, although we are a spirit being, we've got one foot here in this natural realm. We're living and walking in this fallen world, right? And you've heard me, if you've heard me preach before, you've heard me say this, is even though I'm on your side, the devil isn't. So we have an adversary, but in addition to having an adversary, we also live in a fallen world. And now I don't think that my car overheated because the devil directly did it, all right? Do I believe that there is a real devil, that Satan will come into our lives and do things? Absolutely. It's not some figment of our imagination. There is a devil. There are demons. And we do find out that there are times where we have to battle against and stand against the enemy, right? You know, but I don't spend a whole lot of time on that. I had a friend one time that wouldn't eat deviled eggs. He only ate angel eggs at his house. He changed the name of his vacuum cleaner and put a sticker on it. It said Dirt Angel. He would only eat angel's food cake, you know. Don't get so devil conscious that, you know, you're seeing a devil around every corner. I could never figure out the math on people who see more devils or are more devil aware than they are angel aware. I mean, there's only one third as many of them. right? Why are you seeing so many? Where are you hanging out? Crying out loud. But anyway, I know that we have an enemy. I know the devil does stuff, but he didn't cause my car to overheat. But I live in a fallen world, and things aren't perfect here. And things don't always work out like we want them to work out. I mean, thank God I don't have to worry about that, because I do have a God who takes care of me. I mean, even if your engine blew up, is God capable of providing the finances for you to get another engine? He can find me a mechanic out in the middle of nowhere? Sure he can. Amen. But again, I wasn't always that way. I used to get real upset when something would happen. And I felt like, and I think this is just, you know, a matter of opinion based on my experience and what I can see from the Word of God. But, you know, you don't have to build a doctrine on this. I'm just telling you this, that I think typically what will happen to people is when they don't feel like they have what it takes to handle what they're up against, they'll either get angry or afraid. Happens a lot. It's an over exaggeration of the situation that you will feel. I'm scared because I think, now I'm not scared. I just want to be clear. No, I'm sorry. People are watching. You get scared or you become afraid because they say, well, the diagnosis is this and it's terminal. And all of a sudden, you know, where I can believe God for a cold, but now this is different. And the immediate response is, if you haven't built yourself up ahead of time to trust God in that area, and I'm not making fun of you. I've told you before, I've dealt with some pretty serious things in my own life. I'm just telling you, there's a way around that. There's a way out of that. Amen? Or you'll get angry. You'll be frustrated because you don't think you have what it takes to handle what you're up against, and you'll get frustrated. I can remember when we were going to come out to Rhema, we were selling our home, and when you ever try to sell a home and they come in and they find all these things that they want to fix and they give you this whole list. And so I'm trying to fix some of them myself. One of the things that they listed was the texture on the ceiling was falling off in part of the garage. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to fix that. And so I got some texture paint, and I got a texture roller, and I go out there, and I'm rolling. This is ridiculous, but you'll appreciate that I'm telling off on me and not you. So I'm rolling this thing out, and I raise up, and I start rolling it on the ceiling. Well, every time I do, the moisture had caused the ceiling that was on there, the paint, to come loose, and every time I would roll it, it was falling in the floor. And here I am, I'm trying to get out of this place so I can come to Rhema and go to Bible college. But man, I fleshed out like crazy. I was so frustrated. I grabbed a handful of that texture paint and I went, ugh. Then I grabbed another one. And by the time Sarah came out there, I was covered in texture paint. So were the walls. So was the ceiling, because I blew my stack because I didn't feel like I had what it, well, you know, I, looking back on it, there's a lot of things I could have done. If I'd have listened to the Lord, if I'd have trusted him, he could have found a way out of that situation, right? That was weak. Right? He can help us out of the most frustrating situations that we'll ever experience. We're going through something and we think this is too much for me to handle, and we get angry, we get upset, and we kick something. We're mad about it. But God's just saying, you know what? Spend a little time. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. We get over in the secret place, and all of a sudden we become more aware of the protection and provision of God, and he gives us the right idea. He drops something in our spirit. Tells us, why don't you call what I should have done, called my father-in-law. Why don't you call your father-in-law? He can help you fix that. Instead of getting mad and wasting a five-gallon bucket of, I'm glad there's no pictures of that. That's all I can say. So we're going to have problems in this world. John 16:33 told us that. In this world, you will have trouble, it says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Now the Greek word there, trouble, is thlipsis. It means pressure, pressing together, oppression, affliction, or distress. So you could read it that way. We'll call this Rob's Amplified. In this world, you will have pressure, pressing together, oppression, or affliction, distress. But then he said, but take heart. And that word take heart there is tharseo, and it means to have courage or comfort. Which is interesting that he says that, because this is in John 16, and we know in the last part of John, Jesus is speaking about two things in particular. He talks about love and the Holy Spirit. And he had just said, in the context of this passage, he had just told them that he would pray the Father in John 14, and he would send another comforter. Isn't that right? He'll abide with you forever. So he said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take comfort. Well, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen? The onboard assistance that we have, the helper on the inside of us, to be able to keep us from blowing our stack. Because what does the devil want us to do when we have a problem, when we're broke down on the road, when the paint's coming off of our ceiling, when the job says that, hey, they're going to have to let us go, when the doctor says it's going to be this, what do we got to do? We can either blow our stacks, we can get afraid, or we can say, wait a minute, I think I'm going to get over here in the secret place for just a minute. I'm going to spend some time with the comforter. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I'll preach me happy tonight if I don't get you happy. It's important that we understand the fact that trouble is an invaluable part of life, because we live in a fallen world. We have an adversary. Sometimes we make mistakes that cost us, and sometimes other people will apply pressure in our lives. Isn't that right? Somebody say, hurry up. Okay, thank you. I just needed the reminder, because the time is all right. It's essential to remember that God doesn't abandon us in our difficulties. Psalm 34:19 says this. It says, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Glory to God. Again, reading Psalm 91:4, it says, he will shelter you with his wings. You will find safety under his wings. His faithfulness is like a shield or a protective wall. So this idea of a protective wall brings me to the second point, and that's this. God, even though we have trouble, always has another brick for the wall. And so because God always has another brick for the wall, we can expect provision and protection every time, because he's faithful. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, my God is faithful. Just like a wall that's built with many bricks, God provides us with consistent support and new opportunities to find safety and provision. We can trust that he'll always place another brick in the wall of protection when we need it. God's faithfulness isn't a one-time promise, but it's an ongoing guarantee that he will ensure we're always equipped to handle life's challenges and remain safe from all harm. He's that faithful. When he sent Mr. Bricky by the other day, I believe God was using him to help me see that he always has another way to take care of us. You can be broke down on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, and God has another way to take care of you. Oh, glory to God. You could be leaving Egypt and come down to the foot of the river, and he can cause the waters to part, because he's always got another brick in the wall. He's always got another way of escape. You could be Daniel in the lion's den, and he could send an angel to shut the lion's mouth, because he's always got another brick. You could be like the widow of Zarephath and the oil and the flour. How God used her to sustain the prophet and used the prophet to sustain her. Because God's always got another brick. If you're looking for those references, it's Exodus 14, Daniel 6, and 1 Kings 17. When I think of God always having another brick, I think of Jesus feeding the 5,000 in John 6. He fed a crowd of 5,000 people, and all he had was one little boy's lunch, because he's always got another brick. I think of the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were in the fiery furnace, and they came out and didn't even smell like smoke. Because why? Because God is always there to protect. He's always able to sustain. He's always able to bring us through. He's always got another brick. I think of the provision of the manna in the wilderness in Exodus 16. In the desert, God provided the Israelites with manna, and it was miraculous provision that sustained them during their time in the wilderness. But to God, just another brick. I think of the angelic rescue of Peter from prison in Acts 12. Peter was imprisoned by King Herod, but an angel of the Lord appeared to free him from his chains, just another brick. And I think of John Bricky coming at the right time in the middle of the crisis that I had, and instead of worrying about it, another believer to pull up alongside me, to step out of his car and give me a hand. Just another brick in God's wall. God always has another angel. He always has another miracle. Always has another hedge of protection. Always another believer filled with the Holy Ghost, waiting to give aid to someone in need. God's always got another brick in the wall. I wish he had about five more minutes. It's almost time. Can y'all stand one more point real quick? I'll go through it fast. Here's my last point. Let me read you this scripture and then I'll give you my last point. Psalm 121 verses 7 and 8 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He'll not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You and I can rest easy knowing that no matter what comes, no matter what problem, no matter what we're facing, no matter what difficulty, he is always faithful. You don't even have to stay up at night worrying about how it's going to happen, bless God, because he never sleeps or slumbers. You go right on and get you some sleep, just knowing that God is working on your behalf, and if we'll trust him instead of relying on our own mind and trying to reason out how it's going to work, he's always got another brick. You can just lay there, wake up in the morning, expecting the next brick in the wall of God's protection to come. Don't ever try to tell God how to do it. Just trust that there's always another brick. Before I go to this last point, I better make this point. Had it on my heart earlier. You know, a lot of times people want to tell God how to bring the brick. They need healing. And so they say, well, a miraculous healing is what I'm going to get. But God's got lots of bricks. He's a master builder. What if we let him determine? I think too many times people are trying to tell God how he's going to do his work, but he's just saying, if you'll just get behind the wall, I've got another brick for the wall. If you'll just trust in me, I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to worry. I just want you to put it in my hands. Believe me, and I got another brick. Too many times people want to tell God how to do it, but God's got so many ways, so many flows, so many avenues that if we'll just trust him, he'll always have another brick. Here's the third thing. Troubles are going to come to everyone, we said. God always has another brick. But here's my third point. You and I need to learn to be a brick in the wall. We need to learn to engage in God's plan and use our lives to build others up. You know, when the Apostle Paul, this scripture always ministers to me. When the Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 2, in verse 17, he said, I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. When I think about a life being poured out as a drink offering, I think about being who God wants me to be. I want that more than anything else. To be right where God wants me to be doing exactly what God wants me to do, and just pouring my life out and saying, God, you can do better with my life than I'd ever do on my own. And so I'm giving it into your service. So many times, things that I never really thought made that big a difference or made that big a deal in the lives of other people, you just do it because you want to try to be a blessing to others. I can remember when I was a student here, and you, some of you probably heard the story about my slow-to-react response to buying a stroller for someone, but I didn't always act so slow. I can remember when I knew that another student was in need, and I didn't have much money at all at the time when I was a Rhema student, but I had more money at the time than this student did. And I can remember going and buying groceries for this grown man who was trying to believe God for resources himself so that he could make sure that his family's needs were met. And he was struggling because he was always used to providing for his family by the sweat of his brow. He would just go work, and if he wasn't working enough, he'd just get a second job. But he was coming out here and he was learning to trust God for his provision. Now, that doesn't mean you quit your job. Okay, just making sure we're clear there. He was still working, but he was trying to go to school during the day, and he was struggling a little bit. The Lord laid it on our hearts, and we bought him some groceries, and I can remember tears welling up in his eyes because he knew he was going to be able to take those things home. And it wasn't because I was doing it. It was because I told him that the Lord had laid it on our hearts, and he saw God provide for him by just another brick, just being a brick. That same guy that I was allowed to be a brick in his life, it wasn't just a couple of years ago. My son was he was living in North Carolina, and he was leaving Kentucky while we were still home, and he was driving through Tennessee, and he broke down. He called me on the side of the road. He had broken down. He'd gotten a flat tire, and I was like, no big deal, you know, because I'm a wise dad. I'm like, just put your spare on. And he's like, well, it was flat. Yeah. It was freezing. It was wintertime. He was on the side of the road in the mountains. And I called this guy. Turns out it was the same guy. He was a member of our Rhema family. Thank God for the Rhema family. Thank God for all the bricks in the wall that we have everywhere that we go. With all the graduates that we've got, glory to God all over the world. You think God doesn't have somebody to help you when you need it? Ha! Glory to God. So I called this guy. And I said, hey, man, I don't know who else to call. My son's, it was night. It was probably, he was driving at night in the dark with no spare. I know, not wisdom. But next time he's here, I'll introduce you. You tell him. No. And so I said, I don't know how close you are to this, but here's what the situation is. And he said, well, where's he at? And I had asked my son what the exit number was. He goes, that's the next exit up from me. And he said, I'm going to go over there and get him now. He said, that's a dangerous spot. He said, it's in the mountains. And he said, those semis come through there. He said, a lot of times, he said, there's just somebody that, up there that was hurt on the side of the road. They were out there changing their tire and got hit out there changing the tire. He said, I'll go get him. I went and picked my son up, took him home, put him in a warm bed. Next morning, got him up, took him, bought him breakfast, went and got him a brand new set of tires, paid for it. Wouldn't take any money for it. Just another brick in the wall. God wants you and I to be obedient to His Spirit, to do and to go wherever He says go. Because there's going to come a time, and He warned us in this world we'd have trouble, but He said, be of good comfort. I've overcome the world. And when we rely on this secret place, dwelling in the shelter of the Almighty, we stay close to Him and we keep ourselves sensitive to the Spirit of God. Sometimes you'll need a brick and the brick will show up. Sometimes you'll be the brick and you'll show up when someone needs you. But in every case, no matter whether it's you or someone else, God will always have another brick in the wall. Let's pray. We better close. Father God, I just spent a few moments tonight trying to encourage your people about your provision and your protection. Father, we know that we're not without help. Lord, we look to you for our help because we're thoroughly convinced that you are well able on every account to meet every need in our lives. There may be people who came here tonight, Lord, and they're needing something specific, very specific from you. I thank you, Lord, that they'll experience that brick moment, that you'll open that door for them and show them, reveal, move back the curtain and reveal to them that everything's going to be okay because you've always got another brick. You've always got more provision. You've always got more, Lord, exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, Lord, you've got enough. And whatever they're going through, I thank you, Father God, that you're speaking to hearts even now about situations and circumstances, people who have a need personally in their life financially. And you're speaking to somebody to be the brick and minister to them. Needs in this church, areas where people are needed for service, Lord, and you're speaking to hearts even now to be the brick. people at their workplace, people in their families that need a word from you, Lord. Someone to speak a kind word, a loving word into their lives. And you're speaking to hearts tonight, Lord, for them to be the brick. I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that'll come from the people in this congregation watching online, choosing to be the brick in your wall of protection to help to meet the needs of others, working together for the kingdom of God. If you're here tonight and you need specific prayer for anything, I'm going to ask our altar care team to come down. You know how we do it here. The ladies will come to the ladies, the men will come to the men. And you know how we say it to you all the time here as well, that these folks have been picked to do this, selected, anointed by God to believe God with you. They're believers. Well, when you're sick, who is it that lays hands on the sick and they recover? Believers. To agree is touching anything, just takes believers. So if you need anything, when we dismiss tonight, I want to encourage you, as everyone else is exiting, if you need prayer, you come down here and you let these people pray with you and you let them believe God with you and you experience whatever it is that you need, God providing that for you tonight before you leave. I believe your life will be different than when you came in here tonight. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. I want to encourage you to be here. It's Sunday night, so be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Keep praying for our pastors. They're getting some rest. Don't you appreciate them? Believe God for them. Come back rested and recovered. Amen. Anything else, Pastor Ted, Pastor Angela, anything? First-time guests. The connection team, if you'll just slip your hand up again, connection team, find those folks if you're here and they'll go with you. They've got something they want to give you tonight. Thank you so much for being here with us. Come back. If you didn't like me speaking, come back and hear our pastors. You'll really like them, I promise. Love you guys. God bless you. Have a great evening.